Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time, Lord God. We thank you for what you're getting ready to tell us, Lord God. We ask that you give us ears to hear what you're saying, Lord God, a mind and a desire to apply this word, Lord God. God, that we take it with us wherever we go, Lord God, and that we would meditate on it, Lord God, and you would show us how to apply it in our life, and that we would just be excited about what you're getting ready to do in our life. We just thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. When I was praying, asking God what he wanted me to speak on, I was praying in my room one day, and the baby was just fussing. And I was just praying, and Marquise comes in, and he's like, here, let me hold her. And he gets her, and he starts singing. And as he starts singing, a shift happens. She quiets down, and she's just smiling. And he's just worshiping God. It's not like he's singing, making up words, saying, oh, baby, I love you, or saying, stop crying, it's okay, or anything like that. But he begins to worship God. And you can hear it in his tone as he's singing. He's worshiping God. And as he's worshiping God, the whole mood changes. And God said, shift. He said, shift. Because a lot of times we focus on the problem and we forget who supplies our need. We forget who we should be focusing on. We need to shift our attention to God and not on the material things around us. But if we shift our focus to God, things would begin to happen. Amen? Amen. So he said, shift. And I just began to pray and just talk to God. And the first scripture he gave me was Matthew chapter 8. So Matthew chapter 8, we're going to go to verse 23. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, it says, then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a fierce storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. Verse 25, it says, then the disciples went and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it became completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. A lot of times when there's a storm, we begin to panic and we don't know what to do. But when we call upon the name of Jesus and we seek him, he can calm that storm around us. We have to have faith and know that God can shift things around for our good. He can move things for our favor. They were afraid. They were scared. And they couldn't understand. In the natural, I picture that. In the natural, they're like, how is he asleep? The boat is rocking. Things are happening. And how is he still asleep? In our life, we go through different trials and different tribulations. And we say, God, how am I going to pay this bill? God, how am I going to do this? God, how am I going to do that? And God's saying, just trust me. Just have faith and believe. And know that this storm that has you moving every which way, trying to get it to happen the way you want it to happen, he's saying, I'm already shifting things around for your good. I'm already moving things into place. But sometimes that storm that happens, it causes us to look at him, to look up and see God. Not to look to the left, not to look to the right, but we need to look to God, who's our supplier. Amen? It causes us to shift our focus. We need to shift our focus. The next thing he reminded me of is growing up, I was worshiping in my room one day. And before I began to worship in my room, I was doing different things in my room, cleaning up different stuff, and God said, just begin to worship right now. And as I began to worship, as I began to pray, as I began to call upon the name of Jesus, a shift began to happen in the house. Because I didn't know that my mom and my stepdad were fighting in the next room. They were arguing. And as I began to worship, as I began to pray and just seek God, he began to shift things in that house. They both immediately knew they need to go and pray. They need to go and worship. So right there, that shows us that things begin to happen in the atmosphere around us. When we begin to worship and call upon the name of Jesus, the things that are not right, they must flee. They must flee. As we begin to worship, he calms the storm. He brings peace where there needs to be peace. I had that happen to me just this week at work. You know, us fasting, we're tested, we're tried. So I'm at work and I'm working, and a lady asked for my help, and I tried to help her, and she said, no, that don't sound right, and she went away. And I was like, okay. And it was just frustrating me because she kept coming back, and I kept giving her the same answer. And she was like, something don't seem right. I was like, okay, well, ask this supervisor, see if she could help you, because maybe I'm doing it the wrong way. Maybe I don't remember. I haven't been back that long. Maybe I don't remember. And I was getting frustrated, and God said, just worship. And as I began to worship, as I put on my headphones and I began to just praise God, she came back. She said, you know, I was looking at it the wrong way. I wasn't really understanding what you were saying. God began to shift things around. Even the little things just as that, God wants to shift things into place. Because the devil will try and throw things at us just to frustrate us, to get us off course a lot of times. And it may be something minor that we can just let go. But sometimes that the little things is what bothers us. And we allow it to build and become bigger. And as we begin to shift our focus and we focus on God and worship God, then things that are not right have to go. They have to move aside. God is shifting things in our lives. Amen? Amen. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to go to verse 14. NIV. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 14. It says, but thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumph possession and uses us to spread the aroma of knowledge of him everywhere. When I begin to just pray and worship God, he said he's shifting things. And as we worship, he's going to give us knowledge on how to handle things. A lot of times we struggle. We try to see things in the natural. How's this going to work? How's it going to happen? How's everything supposed to pan out? We're trying to figure things out on our own. But as we begin to just look to him, he gives us knowledge on how to handle every situation. As we begin to seek him. You know, a lot of times my friends will call me. They say, oh, I know Precious will pray. If I'm going through this, I know Precious will pray. And so my friend called me and she was panicking. I said, wait. Let's just pray real quick. And as we begin to pray, and I said, you know, you have to learn how to worship in spite of what's going on. Once you pray and you give it to God, you need to worship and know that he's going to shift things around. Know that things are going to begin to happen. And so right after we prayed, things began to, I was talking to her, and she's like, thank you. I needed you to pray with me because I needed you to help me to realize that I need to just hold on and just listen to God and wait for him. A lot of times we're anxious, but the Bible says for us to be anxious about nothing. We're not supposed to be so anxious that we try to do it on our own. But if we wait and we trust in God and know that he's in control, things will begin to fall into place. So a lot of times when I'm talking to different people and we begin to pray and we talk, things begin to shift in the atmosphere. And as we're talking, I notice I'm watching, I'm observing, because things begin to happen in their body language, in their tone of speak, and in the people around us, things begin to happen. And I decided just to worship. I put on music and I was excited. I was like, okay, I'm about to worship all day. And so as I begin to listen to my worship music and I'm worshiping, I notice that when I don't worship and I don't listen, get that time in, that I'm frustrated. I have issues going on. There's people around me that are having bad attitudes or different things going on. But as you worship and as you pray, things happen in the atmosphere. God begins to break off things that had people bound. As we begin to worship, as we begin to shift our focus and seek him and say, God, I can't do it. I don't even know how to do it. But God, I'm going to look to you. God, I'm going to seek you. God, I'm going to allow you to shift things in the atmosphere around me. And that's, a lot of times, that's the only thing we can do. And that's the best thing we need to do, is to look to him. Because he begins to break up some things that had us bound. He begins to shift some attitudes. He begins to lift some generational curses. He begins to just do things that we thought weren't possible, or we thought were too hard, or we thought, oh, this is so small. God don't want to worry about that. No, even the small things he said we can bring to him. And he will move in those situations as we begin to shift our focus on him. You know, a powerful thing that Marquis said to me when I guess we were married for maybe a year. Because we would get bills and I'd be, okay, we got to pay this here, we got to do this. And he said, no. Let me worry about the bills so you're stop worrying. So you're not, because I would get so overjoyed and overwhelmed. And he said, no. God's got us. Let me worry about, let me set up the plan and do what we need to do. And as he did that, I realized that God showed me that he had a little bit more faith than I had at the moment. And he was looking to God saying, okay, God, we have this, we have this, and we have this. And God, I'm giving them to you. But me, I'm thinking, okay, we're gonna do this. We need to use this money here. We need to, I'm trying to plan it out in the natural. But he's trusting God, and God's putting it in place in the spiritual and in the natural. He's lining things up. So as I begin to trust God and know that, okay, Marquise knows, because things were getting paid and it was causing us to argue. And I was getting irritated. He's like, babe, I got this. Just chill out. Don't worry. Let me worry. But really, he was worried maybe a little bit, but he was trusting God. He was giving it to God and saying, okay, God, you handle this. Okay, God, you know we have this and this, and we need you to take care of it. And as I began to just realize, where was my focus? I wasn't really giving it to God. I wasn't really shifting things and allowing God to move, and I need to do that. We need to do that often. Shift our focus to God. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse 12. So Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 12, it says, not that I have already obtained all of this, or have I already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of what Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to yet have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. A lot of times we try and forget where God has brought us from. Not saying that we need to focus on how bad we were and this and that, what we did in the world. But no, I stop and oftentimes thank God. Because if God hadn't saved me, I don't know where I would be. And I thank God that I am where I am right now. But I know that it's not the finish. So I have to press forward to where he's going to take me to. We have to realize that the God we serve is bigger than what we could ever think or imagine. So this right here is just a stepping stone. There's more that he requires of us. There's more that he has for us. But when we shift our attention and say, God, I know you're in control. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know what's going on. But God, I seek you. I trust you. I rely on you. And I know that you are going to push me forward to where I need to be in you. It may take time. It may take a process. But God, I'm seeking you. I'm trusting you. I know that as you begin to shift things right before my eyes, I know that I can trust in you. You're going to have my back. You're going to work everything out. We have to learn to shift our attention to God and not our fleshly desires. And know that God knows what's best for us. Proverbs 16:3 says this. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Meaning, one of my goals was when I was younger, because I used to watch my mom, how she, in a sense, was a servant, kind of. She had a servant-type heart in the sense of at home, I see how she would do things for my father. I would see how she took care of us, and I said, one day I want to be like that. I want to be able to serve my husband and do it out of respect for him, do it unto God, and do it joyfully. I had to shift my focus because a lot of times at first I was like, man, she's just waiting on him hand and foot. Man, she's just doing everything. And God showed me, no, she's honoring him because this is the mate that I gave her. She's honoring him because it's a delight and it's a privilege to be in this marriage thing with a mate, with someone to go at bat with you, someone to go through the struggles and the hard times together with you. And so I looked at that and I said, man, that's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing to look at it like that. A lot of times we look in the natural and we think, she's less than him, but no, that's not what God's saying. She's a helpmate. But my mom enjoyed doing different things for us. And so one of my plans was, God, I want to honor you by serving my husband in different things that I do. I want to be able to, you know, go and make him some food or go and do this or whatever the case may be. And so one of my goals was to be excellent in that area first. And a lot of times we don't realize that goal you may have set, is it may not pan out the exact way you want it, but once you achieve it, God will show you. I already had that in you. It was already there, but you just had to allow me to pull it out. And that's the same thing with ministering. It took me a long time to grasp hold of the fact that he had called me and that the testimony he gave me was for me to share. My testimony didn't have to be so big like everyone else's, but the testimony he gave me was for a time that I needed him. And it was something so impactful to me that every time I think about how he saved me, how he delivered me, that every time I think about that, I can't do anything but praise him. And we have to realize, and so now being able to be up here and minister, it's a privilege and an honor. And I always say, God, why do I get so nervous? Why do I get so frustrated? What? He said, because there's something powerful that's going to come out of your mouth as you are obedient, as you humble yourself, and you present yourself to be a mouthpiece for me. As you present yourself available, as you allow things to allow me to show you things. He said, as you allow me to shift your mindset so you're not so feeling so low or inadequate. So as we allow him to do things on a daily basis, shift things in our lives, it's a wonderful thing. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. Isaiah 55 and 9 says that. It says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We look at things in the natural and it looks so big to us. That problem that you're dealing with, it looks so big, it looks so hard for you just to reach the goal you have set forth. But as you remember the great big God that you serve, there's nothing too hard with God. There's nothing so big that he can't handle it. There's nothing so tough that he can't just handle that situation. As we remember David and Goliath, that giant was huge. But the God we serve is even bigger than that. And the problems that we face on a daily basis, we say, oh, it's so small. Yeah, it's so small. God can handle it like that. We allow ourselves to grab hold of the things that the world speaks over us. Oh, you can't do it. That's too hard. That's too tough. Oh, it's not going to happen like that. Miracles don't happen today. And we allow those things to build, and we think about those things a lot. When I was in the youth group, one thing the youth pastor told us what we had to do is we had to take can't out of our vocabulary. If we were around him and we said it, it was kind of like you're about to get a real bad scolding. We have long discussions if you said I can't, but we realized that I can, and it's a privilege and an honor. And that's one thing he told us, is to realize that don't allow the words that the world may put on you stay on you. We need to shake free of those things and allow the things that God has spoken to attach itself to us, to become our identity. And so we used to say, I can't, or I won't, or I don't know how to. And that's not what God wants us saying. And the awesome thing that God set up is he allowed our youth group to go to Mexico. And we went to Mexico and we got to go to an orphanage. But even before we went to the orphanage, we saw these kids on the street and we thought they were so cute. And they were walking around. And then I realized, I was like, where are their parents? What are they doing out here? There were a few of them in groups and a few of them kind of by themselves. They were making money for their families. They were out there selling and doing stuff. And then we went to the orphanage and we saw the kids there and they just kept asking us to take them home. It opened our eyes as young people to realize that I get to go to church. I get to go to school. I get to have dishes to wash, even though I don't want to. And I just realized that today. And when I was talking to Kayla earlier this week, she said, you know, I like washing dishes with you. I like doing this with you. And a lot of times I'm like, what is wrong with this girl? But because I told her that, you know, that's one thing I learned with my mom. She taught me how to wash dishes, and I spent time in there drying dishes or doing whatever we would do in there together. She likes that, and she wants to do it because my mom did it, because I learned that. And I want to instill in her that you get to. It's a privilege and it's an honor. Although we don't want to clean our rooms, there's people that wish they had rooms to clean. There's people that wish they had rooms. There's people that wish they... I don't like my clothes I have sometimes, but I thank God for them. A lot of times we pick at the little things that we have and we take so much for granted, we don't realize the God we serve. He put us where we are right now for a reason, and he's given us everything that we need. It may not be what we want, but it's what we need right now. We have to shift our focus and realize the God we serve. The God we serve is so awesome. He's so wonderful. He's so wonderful. We are going to go to Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43. I'm going to start at verse 1. Isaiah 43, starting at verse 1, it says, "But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, you are formed, or he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." We can stop right there and realize that God has called us. He chose each and every one of us. We forget that God wants us, that God loves us, that he delights in us. He chose us. Amen? Amen. Verse 2, it says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give you Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Saba for your steed." God is so awesome. Because even though we go through trials and we go through storms, God is with us. There was a song that when the young ladies used to sing at church, and all that part, it just kept saying, "While I'm riding through the storms with Jesus." A lot of times we forget that Jesus is with us when we're going through that storm. Jesus is with us when we're going through that battle. Jesus is with us when we're taking that test and we feel like we're all alone and there's no one with us. Jesus is with us. We forget that all the time. We say, "I'm all by myself. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do." God's saying, "I'm with you." He said, "I'm with you always." He said, "I'm with you." When you're trying to figure things out, remember God's with you right there. And as you seek him, as you look to him, he's going to show you how things are going to work out. Amen? Amen? Verse 4 says, "Since you are precious and honored in my sight, because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, 'Give them up,' and to the south, 'Do not hold them back.' Bring my sons from afar. Bring my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed and made." We forget that God formed us, that God made us, and that God is not he's not man, so he's not going to lie. If God says that he will bring us through, he'll bring us through. If God said he would provide our needs, we have to realize that God is in control, and once we seek him and once we allow him to be in control of that situation, he'll work everything out. He'll allow things to fall into place. We have to remember that he created us. He created us. We need God to shift things in our lives. We need to learn how to shift our focus off of ourselves, off of the natural, and look to him for his help. Allow him to shift some things in your life this week. Don't just stop praying because the fast is over. Don't stop reading as much as you did earlier this week because the fast is over. Continue to take that time and worship. Continue to set aside that time just to press in like you were doing this week. You're doing it so you had strength this week, but now do it because you want to. Now do it because you need God to continue to strengthen you this week. Continue just to fight the fight of faith and know that God can shift things in your favor. Know that he's turning some things around as you begin to seek him, as you begin to pray, as you begin to worship and just command those things to break. He's going to shift some things around. Even though you may not see it right now, you don't know how it's going to work out. as you look to God for his help, his guidance, know that he will shift things in your favor. Amen? Amen. Lord God, I thank you so much for this time. God, I thank you for us realizing that we need to shift our focus from ourselves, from the natural, and shift it to you. We need to shift our focus, God, so that you can move in our lives, Lord God, so that we can give you glory in everything that we do, Lord God, so that we can look to you for that help, for that guidance, Lord God, that we will realize that as we shift our focus to you, Lord God, you will calm the storm. You will calm the storm, Lord God. God, you will move things out of the way that were blocking us. God, you will set things into place that we need it set in place, Lord God. God, you will tear down walls and barriers, Lord God, as we shift our focus to you, Lord God. As we begin to look to you, Lord God, we'll allow you to shift things in the spiritual, Lord God. You'll break off chains that had us bound, Lord God. You'll remove generational curses, Lord God. God, you will begin to stir us up where we need to be stirred, Lord God. God, you will begin to move in a mighty way, oh God, because you are shifting things in our favor, oh God, because you are a great and powerful God. God, you're not God that you would look over the little things, Lord God, or that you would say the big things are too big for you to handle, but you're God that is God and you're God alone. You are in control, Lord God. God, help us to shift our focus to you and allow you to handle every situation. Allow you to look to you for our help and our guidance, oh God. God, that you move in a mighty way, Lord God, that you would have your way, God. We thank you for shifting things in our favor. Lord God, we thank you for shifting things right now, Lord God. Help us to continue just to throw things into your hands, Lord God. Your word says for us to cast every care upon you, for you care for us, Lord God. God, we thank you for caring for us, Lord God. We thank you for caring for us, Lord God. God, we ask that you help us just to continue just to cast every care at your feet, Lord God, as they handle this situation, Lord God. And we know that you're going to shift things around for us, Lord God. That you're going to move things out of the way, Lord God. We just thank you right now. God, continue to calm the storm in our life, Lord God. Continue just to move in a mighty way, God. We thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.